very important to Muslims and develops in the virtual arts such as architecture, calligraphy, painting, textile, metalwork, and ceramists were encouraged. Greetings once again, dear listeners, and thank you very much for listening to Iran Radio, coming to you from Tehran, the capital of the Islamic Republic of Iran. Let's take a quick look at what's coming up next on today's broadcast. We begin with A to Z of Life. After that, we present a specially selected edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Foresight, hosted by Sayyid Shahryar Naqvi. This enlightening program features prominent English-speaking scholars from across the Islamic world, focusing on the practical dimensions of worship and servitude to Allah, all within the context of modern-day challenges. It's an invitation to explore the intersection of faith and real-life responsibility. And finally, we bring you Ulama's speech. Coming up next, A to Z of Life. Stay with us. There is much to discover.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, staying on the path. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to A to Z here on English Radio with me, Sister Zainab. And look, staying on the path, so the path is obviously the straight path. And yeah, there are different things we can say about this, because obviously we have our individual effort, which is just us and our inner nature trying to encourage ourselves to stay on this path, dealing with the flaws we have inside ourselves, asking Allah for guidance. And I really would remind all of us to ask for guidance from Allah on a daily basis, because really, if we do not ask Allah for guidance, we have to also understand that, you know, Shaitan is there. And Shaitan is just waiting for us to not be so observant, or to just, yeah, think that some sins we've maybe committed aren't such serious sins. And it's so easy. It'd be so easy for us to just fall off from the path, or not even, maybe we're not even totally on the path. We're just sort of hanging on, basically. That's sort of my image. So I pray that we're able to sort of ask Allah for help in purifying ourselves, so we do have that chance to somehow stay on the path. But, you know, there's another aspect to this. Staying on the path is also influenced by people around us. And look, I have to say, this is which one is more important? Well, look, if we look at the stories of our imams, the infallibles, for sure, it would not matter what is going around, what sort of evil people are around the infallibles, the pure-hearted people. They're on the path. They are so close to Allah. But, you know, most of us, we're not like that. We are fallible. It doesn't take much, for sure, with some or many of us to, you know, just deviate a little bit. So that is why it's really important that we surround ourselves with, you know, good people, like-minded people, inshallah. Welcome back to A to Z here on I'm Being Trade with me, Sister Zainab, and I'm talking about a particular aspect of staying on the path, which means sort of surrounding ourselves, or at least just being a bit aware of who the people are around us, so we don't start to. Because, look, we have the tendency in some ways to, you know, fall in with the people who are around us, who to sort of imitate a little bit or take on board some of the ways of living, some of the habits, some of the thoughts of people that we are around a lot of the time. So obviously we don't want to sort of take on board things that are not such good thoughts or not such good or moral habits. So let's just be a bit aware of that. And I just wanted to mention the example of one of the martyrs from the Holy Offense, Sayyidjan Bozorgi. He, for example, was very careful with the company he chose. He was so careful that, for example, when he was going through courtship, so when he had sort of met with one family, met his future wife, one of the candidates he met in her family's home, he realized, and this must be going back to, I think this goes back to the 80s, when they had what's, and we don't even know this nowadays almost, called a VCR player, so a video player. In those days, that was considered a sign of a non-religious family. So that for him was enough. That was all the information he needed to understand, okay, this is not a religious family. This is not a suitable environment for me. And so obviously nothing progressed with that courtship, of course. And, you know, this is something that we need to be careful with. And look, I talk about this a lot. And they do say that if we want to know who someone is, look at their friends. And, you know, I was just thinking to myself the other day, and I was counting my blessings and thinking, oh, alhamdulillah, Allah has sent me some beautiful friends. And look, alhamdulillah, they're amazing people, alhamdulillah. But for sure, it's so difficult. And I just pray that all of us can, on the one hand, say, alhamdulillah, look at the wonderful, caring, reliable people we have in our lives, these amazing people Allah sent to us. And then also just be a bit aware, and especially maybe when we're thinking about our children, who are the people in their lives and also in our lives? Do we have good people in our lives? Are there people we need to maybe just be a bit more careful with? So these are our thoughts, and that was it for today. And I pray that you tune in to another episode of HZ here on IRB English Radio. And farewell for now. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of A to Z. And for more information, please also visit our website at www.iranradio.ir.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
That was the week that was. Beyond the headlines, we dissect the stories that shaped the past 7 days from the heart of region to the global stage. God, the compassionate, the merciful. Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to our political chat show, That Was the Week That Was. We look at global politics and issues of the day, and I'm your host, Leila Garcia. With me here in the studio is veteran journalist and political commentator, Mehran Dakhshand. Please stay tuned. Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks very much indeed.
Today's discussion is about U.S. conducting secret negotiations with Russia without keeping allies informed to end the Russia-Ukraine war. U.S. officials have told NATO allies they accepted to push President Vladimir Zelensky into agreeing to a peace deal in the coming days, under the threat that if Kiev does not sign, it will face a much worse deal in future. The U.S. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll briefed ambassador from NATO nations at a meeting in Kiev late on Friday, 21st November, after talks with Zelensky and taking a phone call from the White House. Several European ambassadors at the meeting questioned the content of the deal and the way in which the U.S. had conducted the negotiations with Russia without keeping allies informed. The deal now on offer contains a number of provisions that are likely to be unacceptable to Kiev, including the need to give up territory Russia has occupied, as well as surrendering further territory Kiev still controls. It also suggests there would be an amnesty for all war crimes committed during the conflict. On Saturday, however, Donald Trump said the plan was not his final offer, and that one way or the other, he hoped the fighting would stop. Trump is keen for Zelensky to agree to the deal by Thanksgiving, which is on Thursday, 27 November 2025. Okay, let's bring in veteran journalist and political commentator Mehran Derakhshande.
Thanks for inviting me.
My first question is, what was the negotiations conducted in secret between U.S. and Russia without Ukraine's involvement and European involvement?
That's right. The Ukrainians and the Europeans were effectively kept in the dark over the content and format of this peace plan. They weren't involved in the negotiations.
Yeah, right.
U.S. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll has presented the rationale for not inviting the Europeans and the Ukrainians to the negotiations. Driscoll said, "It kept the process more manageable," he said. "President Trump wants peace now. The more cooks in the kitchen, the harder it is to handle, and a greater probability of spoiling the broth." So the Americans made a conscious decision to exclude the Europeans from the negotiations to keep the process, in Dan Driscoll's words, more manageable and to give peace more of a chance. As the old saying goes, too many cooks spoils the broth.
Right. Who actually negotiated the secret peace plan?
Well, actually, the peace plan was drafted by Donald Trump's aide, Steve Witkoff, and Kremlin advisor Kirill Dmitriev.
I see, yeah.
And this sort of Witkoff-Dmitriev axis is a relationship that has emerged as a key back channel between Washington and Moscow.
Right.
Now, Julie Davis, the America's charge d'affaires in Kiev, also said that although the terms of this deal were punishing for Ukraine, Ukraine had little choice but to accept or face a future much worse than what is currently on offer. Julie Davis said, "The deal does not get better from here. It actually gets worse."
Yeah.
And, of course, the U.S. Army Secretary Dan Driscoll has now gone to Moscow for negotiations with senior Russian officials, including President Vladimir Putin.
Mm-hmm. How has President Putin reacted to this peace plan?
Well, actually, President Putin's reaction has been very positive. President Putin said that, "I believe this can be used as a basis for a final peace settlement between Russia and Ukraine." Now, Europeans are saying that essentially this sort of peace plan looks like very much to have a huge amount of input from Moscow. So they're saying effectively it's a Russian peace plan. And there was some controversy with U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who initially said this was a Russian plan, but later he corrected himself and he said, "No, this is a U.S. peace plan."
Oh, I see.
So Rubio actually, well, for some reason, initially, he seemed to confirm that this was actually a Russian plan.
Yeah, right. Tell us more about the details of this peace plan.
Yes, the peace plan put forward by Donald Trump and Steve Witkoff is a little bit controversial as far as the Europeans are concerned, because it allows Russia to keep territory which it has gained in this war from Ukraine, namely Donetsk, Luhansk, and as well as Crimea. So the peace plan actually forces Ukraine to hand over other territory in the east of the country that isn't currently occupied by Russia. And most of this territory is in Donetsk region.
I see, yeah.
The agreement also freezes the front lines of the conflict at the Ukrainian oblasts of Kherson and Zaporizhia, the provinces of Kherson and Zaporizhia, which would allow Russia to effectively hold on to the nearby key strategic town of Mariupol. And this has a direct line into the Crimean Peninsula. So this gives Russia a direct line into the Crimean Peninsula. Another key point is that Ukraine will forever be barred from joining NATO. And Russia is very sensitive on this, and the Russians are insisting that Ukraine should never join NATO. And apparently President Trump has agreed to this. Well, Trump's peace deal includes many Russian demands, but the Europeans, particularly Britain, France and Germany, are doing everything they can to modify Donald Trump's peace plan in favor of Ukraine. In fact, the latest is that the Ukrainians have made their own alternative proposal for Donald Trump's peace plan. We'll talk more about that later. But Donald Trump has once again reiterated that the Ukraine war with Russia should never have happened in the first place. He said, if I was president, it never would have happened. We're trying to get it ended one way or the other. We have to get it ended. When asked what would happen if Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky didn't sign up to the peace deal, Donald Trump said, then he can continue to fight his little heart out. Trump suggesting there that Ukraine will lose America's support if it didn't sign up to the peace deal with Russia.
I see. European nations have pushed back against Trump's proposed peace plan, which was brokered with the help of the Kremlin without Ukraine's input. In a joint statement released after the Group of 20 meeting on Saturday, European leaders said they believe the plan would bring the conflict closer to the end. But they also said, we believe, therefore, that the draft is a basis which will require additional work. What are your thoughts about Europe's response to this peace plan?
Yes, that's quite right. The European leaders meeting at the G20 summit in Johannesburg, South Africa, they have said that the US peace plan for ending the war in Ukraine will require additional work. Now, the draft plan does endorse some of Russia's demands, such as handing over Ukraine's eastern Donbass region, limiting the number of Ukrainian military personnel, and Ukraine giving up its ambitions to join NATO. And Washington was also insisting that Kiev should give a response and should accept this peace deal by Thanksgiving on Thursday, 27th of November. Now, European leaders meeting in Johannesburg, South Africa, they discussed Donald Trump's peace plan for Ukraine. In a joint statement, they said the draft includes important elements that will be essential for a just and lasting peace. But they also said it is a basis which will require additional work. And the Europeans in Johannesburg, South Africa, insisted that borders must not change by force. So this is one bone of contention. The Europeans seem to be insisting that borders, international borders, should not change by force. They added that any elements relating to the European Union and NATO would need their agreements and that they are ready to engage in order to ensure that a future peace is sustainable. The statement in Johannesburg, South Africa, was signed by European leaders, leaders of Britain, France, Germany, Spain, Italy, Netherlands, Ireland, Finland, Norway, as well as officials from the European Union and the prime ministers of Canada and Japan. Now, speaking to reporters in Johannesburg, South Africa, British Prime Minister Keir Starmer said leaders were concerned about US proposals to cap Ukraine's military because it's fundamental that Ukraine has to be able to defend itself after a ceasefire agreement. US, Ukrainian and European national security advisors met in Geneva, Switzerland on Sunday, 23rd of November, and they went through quite a bit of this detail. The French President Emmanuel Macron called into question the efficacy of the G20 group. Macron said the group, the world's biggest economies, is at risk. G20 is at risk because of its inability to find common ground and resolve major crises. Macron said the G20 may be coming to the end of a cycle. He warned, we are living in a moment of geopolitics in which we are struggling to resolve major crises together around this table, including with members who are not present today. That's a reference to the United States because Donald Trump actually boycotted the G20 meeting in South Africa. Emmanuel Macron said the 19 countries present in Johannesburg were struggling to find consensus on issues such as humanitarian law and sovereignty. And commenting on the US peace plan for the Russia-Ukraine war, Macron said there can be no peace in Ukraine without Ukrainians, without respect for their sovereignty.
I see.
So that's Emmanuel Macron, and other European leaders were similarly, sort of, they were a bit sceptical about President Trump's peace plan for Ukraine. Yeah. So they were somewhat sceptical.
Right. You are listening to the Voice of Islamic Republic of Iran, English Radio. This program entitled, That Was the Week That Was. Are European leaders rallying behind Zelensky, ready to defy Trump's attempt to fast-track a peace deal with Russia?
Yes, that's exactly what they're doing. They're effectively rallying behind Zelensky, and they're trying to thwart Donald Trump's fast-track approach to a peace deal with Russia. The latest is that US and Ukraine said they have created an updated and refined peace framework. So they have created an updated and refined version of this peace plan to end the war with Russia. And this came just hours after European countries proposed their own alternative plan that omitted some of the pro-Russia points in the original Donald Trump peace plan for Ukraine. So America's Secretary of State Marco Rubio had a meeting in Geneva, Switzerland on Sunday, 23rd of November, with a Ukrainian delegation led by Zelensky's chief of staff, Andrei Yermak.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Marco Rubio said he was very optimistic about progress in the talks. He also said that the two countries would try to fully uphold Ukraine's sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as discussions began in Geneva on Sunday, Donald Trump said Ukraine had shown zero gratitude for U.S. efforts to end the war with Russia.
I see. Yeah.
Now, this was a bit at odds with a statement from Volodymyr Zelensky, who said he was personally grateful to Donald Trump for America's military assistance and the military assistance that Kiev had received from Washington. And he also specifically, he thanked Washington for sending Kiev Javelin missiles, which he said had saved Ukrainian lives.
Yeah.
And there was a strange episode, as I mentioned earlier. U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio seemed to admit that the White House plan was actually conceived in Moscow, but he then sort of corrected himself, insisted that the plan was Donald Trump's plan and it was a U.S. plan.
Right, yeah.
So as far as European allies, as far as the Europeans are concerned, we can say that the Europeans were blindsided by the secret negotiations going on between Washington and Moscow.
Yeah.
But they have now come up with an alternative plan, a sort of what they call a Kiev-friendly plan of their own, which they presented on Sunday, 23rd of November.
Yeah.
The alternative European plan says negotiations over territory should take place after a ceasefire is agreed and should start from the line of contact, which is the existing front lines in Ukraine.
Yeah.
This alternative European plan says both parties would agree how any truce would be monitored under America's supervision. Now, unlike Donald Trump's plan, the European alternative plan does not call for Kiev to withdraw from cities which it controls at the moment in the eastern Donbass region. And crucially, this alternative European plan does not explicitly rule out Ukraine's membership of NATO, but it does say that there is no consensus over Ukraine's membership in NATO, that some NATO countries are opposed to Ukraine's membership,
I
but
see.
It doesn't rule it out altogether.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the alternative European plan, they propose that Russia should give up the occupied Zaporizhia nuclear power plant station to the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA, the United Nations nuclear watchdog, and the IAEA should split power 50-50 between Moscow and Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
And another key difference in this alternative European plan is that the Europeans are saying Ukraine's army should be capped in peacetime at 800,000 personnel, which is 200,000 more than the Donald Trump's peace plan, which capped it at 600,000. So the Europeans have increased 600,000 to 800,000. So these are the key differences between the European plan and Donald Trump's peace plan for Ukraine.
Yeah. To sum up very briefly then, Donald Trump is putting pressure on Vladimir Zelensky to accept his peace plan to end the war with Russia. But the Europeans have come up with the alternative peace plan, which is more in favor of Kiev. It remains to be seen whether Zelensky would sign Trump's peace plan or throw his weight behind the alternative European peace plan. Thank you, Mr. Drakshani, for your insightful analysis.
Thanks for inviting me.
For more on these and other critical issues, be sure to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Join us again next time for another edition of That Was the Week That Was. Take care and goodbye.
Searching for the light, and you see no hope in sight. Be sure and have no doubt, He is always close to you. He's the one who knows you best. He knows what's in your heart. You'll find your peace at last if you just have faith in Him. You're always in my heart and mind. Your name is mentioned every day. You no matter what, my biggest wish is to see you one day. 'Cause I believe.
Tawakkul comes from the root word wakala. Wakala means...
Today, I'd like to read to you an excerpt from...
Allah is the unique Arabic name.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. His decree, though...
This is Foresight, a program on how to worship Allah. Today's tip, how management is manifested in worship and in ubudiyah, our servitude and our obedience to Allah. Welcome back, dear friends. This is Foresight on IRIB English Radio. So we are talking about how management is manifested in ubudiyah, in our worship, in our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. So, you know, just like all of the various different aspects of our life, you know, management is manifested also in our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. You know, the whole universe, the earth, the, you know, solar system, all of these things are in a very beautiful harmony, and they are in a certain order, and that order is really what is called management. Now, when we come out of this very universal idea of management, you know, and we come down to the earth, we see that everything upon the earth, you know, plant life, animal life, the various different ecosystems across the world, they are all in this very beautiful, managed, ordered, and organized state. And this is one of the beauties of the natural world and the overall solar system and the galaxies and the universe and the cosmos, is that there's this very beautiful order and this beautiful management of all of these things. And it really, the more you think about it, you know, the more amazing all of it really seems. So if anybody, you know, if you have a pet at home, you will realize that cleaning up after a pet is incredibly tedious. I mean, you constantly have to feed the pet, you know, you have to constantly clean the pet, you have to constantly clean up after the pet. And when you look at the natural world, there's nobody, you know, cleaning up after all of these animals that are in the wild or the plant life, or nobody's actively feeding any of them. There's like, I don't know, millions of animals and millions of plants and millions of insects. But this beautiful management is very, you know, divinely manifested in the natural world. And then when we come to human beings, we see that the body is very beautifully managed. And so likewise, this management can also be very clearly seen in the social issues of humanity, the political issues of humanity, the economic issues of humanity. And so when we look at worship, when we look at ubudiyah, you know, and the servitude and the obedience to the Almighty Allah, of course, this management is also manifested in this ubudiyah. IRIB English Radio. Please follow our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir.
The reality of order is one of the greatest proofs of God's existence. There is such an order in everything in the universe, from a fly's wing to the stars in the skies, to an atom, to the depths of the seas, that it reflects the Creator's existence like a sun. Yes, order can only emerge from a single hand. If many hands interfere in a task, then it becomes muddled. A country cannot have two kings, a province cannot have two governors, and a village cannot have two chiefs. If there are two heads, then there will be disorder, since this universe has order instead of chaos. God, who established this order, must be existent and unique. This exquisite order, which is in sight, cannot be explained by anything other than God's existence. The Holy Quran attracts the attention to this reality with the following verse: He who created the seven heavens, one above another, no want of proportion wilt thou see in the creation of God, most gracious. So turn thy vision again. Seest thou any flaw? Again, turn thy vision a second time. Thy vision will come back to thee dull and discomfited, in a state worn out. Surah Al-Mulk, verses 3 to 4. Books with loads of volumes can be written and have been written to explain the universe's order. A book can be written even regarding the orderliness of a fly's body. We will only examine the smallest building block of material, the atom, and refer the balance found in the universe and its articles to science books. Everything from the air, water, mountains, animals, plants, and our bodies, to the sofa that you are sitting on. In summary, everything that you see, from the smallest to the largest, everything you touch and feel, is comprised of atoms. Atoms are so small that it is not possible to see these tiny particles even through the most powerful microscopes. Let us try to demonstrate the smallness of atoms through an example. Imagine having a key in your hand. Surely, it is impossible for you to see the atoms in this key. Let us assume that you maximized the key to the Earth's dimensions so that you could see these atoms. If the key was maximized to Earth's dimensions, only then could you see that every atom in that key was the size of a cherry. Every atom comprises a nucleus, and every nucleus has been formed from the electrons revolving in the orbits very far away. The radius of a nucleus is about 1/10,000th of an atom's radius. Let us look for the nucleus and the atoms that are the size of cherries when we bring the key to the Earth's dimensions. However, this search is futile, because even on this type of scale, we do not have the opportunity to observe a nucleus that is so small. We could see the nucleus only when the cherry that represents our atom would have to grow into a ball that is 200 meters tall. Despite this inconceivable dimension, our atom's nucleus would not amount to anything larger than a very small dust particle. Now, if you wish, let us picture the order of this tiny structure. Due to their electric charges, the electrons in the atom continuously spin around the nucleus. All electrons are negatively charged, whereas all protons are positively charged. The positive charge within the atom's nucleus pulls the electrons towards it, and for that reason, the electrons are unable to separate from around its surroundings. The number of protons in the center of an atom is equal to the number of electrons on the outside. Thus, the atom's electrical charge is balanced. However, the proton's volume and mass are more than those of an electron. If a comparison has to be made, it is like the difference in size between a human and a hazelnut. Nevertheless, their electric charges are the same. What would happen if their electric charges were not equal? In that case, every atom in the universe, due to the extra positive electricity, would possess a positive charge. As a result, every atom in the universe would push one another.
Welcome back, dear friends. So we are talking about how management is manifested in ubudiya, in our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. So now when we start to look at worship, of course, the Almighty Allah has made certain kinds of worship wajib, obligatory. That means that we have to do this because perhaps this is the bare minimum, and that bare minimum has been made obligatory because perhaps if that bare minimum was not to be obligatory and wajib, then we would never engage even in that bare minimum. It's quite profound if you, you know, rewind, listen to it again and think about it, that the reason that, for example, the five daily prayers that are wajib and are wajib and obligatory because they are the bare minimum of what an individual should do who wants to engage in ubudiyah, in the worship, in the servitude, and the obedience to the Almighty Allah. And if this bare minimum was not made obligatory by the Almighty Allah, then unfortunately, we human beings would not even engage in that bare minimum worship of the Almighty Allah. So even making these five daily prayers wajib and obligatory, in reality is a huge favor and a blessing to every single human being. So anyways, when we look at the management, of course, these five daily prayers, you have five. That's managed in a very specific way. You know, when you continue in and you look at the various different details of the prayer, you know, you stand for a certain time, you recite something while you're standing in qiyam, in ruku, in the genuflection, you know, you are there for a certain period of time. There's a certain dhikr or a certain recitation you make there. You know, then you have two sujood, right? You have two prostrations. Between the two prostrations, you pause. So when you look at the whole prayer, it is very beautifully managed and very beautifully organized, you know? And so even when you have congregational prayers, there is a specific person who leads the prayers. That person who leads the prayers has certain requirements. The people are all lined up, you know, in a certain fashion. They all bow down at the same time. They stand up at the same time. They go into prostration at the same time, right? And all of it is very beautifully managed, and it shows this very beautiful organization, this discipline, this like the solar system. It really is something very beautiful to observe. And even our other, you know, forms of worship and our other forms of ubudiyah, they also have a certain kind of manifestation of management, you know. Again, management is not something that is very dry or very boring or very, you know, I don't know, type X behavior, personality. No, management is this beautiful order and organization that is manifested in all of the cosmos. And so it is very natural and very harmonious for it to also be manifested in our ubudiyah, our worship, our servitude, and our obedience to Allah. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Foresight. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah. وملاذي أحتمي بحما حسبنا الله.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
علم فقه از علوم شریفه اسلامی است.
فقه or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. We're welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
انا انزلناه فی لیلت القدر ما قرآن را در شب قدر نازل کردیم.
Indeed, we revealed the Holy Quran during the night of decree. We revealed the Quran during the night of decree, Laylatul Qadr. This verse says, we revealed it during a night. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 185, it states, we revealed it in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran. If you place these two ayahs side by side, what happens? You see, farmers sometimes take two shears, cut two branches, graft them, and a different fruit emerges. Now, if I join these two ayahs together, what emerges? The Quran was revealed on the night of decree. The Quran was revealed in the month of Ramadan. Both are in the Quran. What does this mean? It becomes clear that the night of decree is within the month of Ramadan.
انزلناه یعنی دفعتن
Anzallahu, we revealed it, implies a sudden single revelation or tanzil. Allama Tabatabai, in his famous exegesis of the Holy Quran, Al-Mizan, states, Anzallah means the entire Quran was revealed all at once, and tanzil means gradual, piece by piece. In the Quran, we both have Inzal, sent down at once, and Tanzil, sent down in stages. Once, the entire Quran was revealed upon the Prophet's heart during the night of decree, according to its capacity. And once, it was revealed gradually over 23 years on various occasions. It is like someone bringing you a bag of gifts. You might ask all at once, "Is this bag a gift?" And then you open it all at once and ask, "Whose shirt is this? Whose pen is this? Whose shoes are these?" Meaning, once the entire Quran was revealed to the Prophet's heart on the night of decree, and once it was revealed in pieces over 23 years on appropriate occasions. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program and our other programs, please log on to our website, iranradio.ir. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Greetings from Iran Radio. Here's a quick look at what's still ahead on your favorite station, thoughtfully curated to keep you informed, inspired, and connected. We begin with news. Right after the news, we invite you to listen to Spring of Truth. Next, enjoy a fresh edition of Radio Productions. Then stay tuned for Leader's Speech. Coming up next, news this hour. Stay with us.
Allah, Allah. Allah 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 Allah
Ya Rabbi
Allah Allah
Ya Rabbi
Allah 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 Allah, 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 Allah.
الصبح بعد من طالعته والليل دجى من وفرته أنور سهر جلس تري أرشب
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Iran hails Syrian youth resistance on their fight against Israel's incursions, legitimate response to aggression. Hezbollah leader says their group's arsenal is the only force capable of deterring Israel's expansionist ambitions. And people in Venezuela say they are determined to defend their nation in the face of intensified U.S. military activities in the Caribbean. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on World News. Top story, the Israeli regime has drawn a chorus of condemnation for a deadly incursion into Syria that's left 20 people dead, including children. Syria's foreign ministry denounced the attack on a Damascus suburb as a brutal massacre